flowers on the wall that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Monday morning. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, Dale Jackson, WVNN, Yellowhammer News. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, Clyde Jones. He is the Democrat running in the 1st Congressional District. It's Jerry Carl, November 3rd. So please stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, he is one of our regulars on Mondays, but been a little while, but because I was out, and we're back together again. But State Representative Shane Stringer is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. Let me start this. It's the hot button right now. You're in law enforcement, but flock cameras. What's your take on those?
Very complicated. I think that there's a lot of issues with it, and I think we need to do some deep dive into it and to see, you know, what we're going to do. But, you know, I think there's some good that comes from it. You know, I'm sure people that have missing loved ones or something, it helps recover it, probably love it, think it's the best thing ever. Those that have probably been mistakenly identified, stopped, held at gunpoint, or held for hours by a false alarm is probably totally against it. But it's here. I think we're going to have to address it and try to come up with, if it's going to be here, we're going to have to put some checks and balances in place. You know, we've seen in different areas of the country, and even right here in Alabama, where officers have been identified as abusing it and using it wrongly. There needs to be some laws in place to address that, some strict laws, if we're going to allow it to continue. But even then, there's still just a lot of issues with it, you know, from private people being the investors and having access to this information. It is probably one of the deepest issues that I think we need to address in our state, if not the country right now.
Yeah. So, you know, some of your colleagues have talked about it publicly. It's just maybe it's a matter of putting some guardrails in place to prevent some abuses.
Yeah, probably so. Some of that, at least at the bare minimum. But, you know, I'm not big into this type of stuff. You know, even being in law enforcement, I have been against these traffic cameras that mail you a ticket for running a red light, you know. And of course, yes, it will probably reduce wrecks at some of these intersections, but a lot of these situations turn into revenue generators for the cities, and that's where, you know, they do it for. And even in this, if you go back and look at a lot of the investors that are involved in the flock system, you know, you'll see it is about the money. It's a money generating system. So I think there's a lot that we need to look at, and I think there's probably a lot that's going to have to be done if they're allowed to stay. But if not, then you know, we need to figure out what to do with them.
Is this technology any different than what you would have on the typical police car, on a state trooper vehicle or anything? Because I guess the question here is just, it's stationary. Like, what's the distinction here? Is this something you would have like on a dash camera?
There are cop cars that are equipped with LPR, license plate readers, that can read them as they go by, and it will alert the officer in the car through the computer if it gets a hit that one of them are stolen or something involved with a wanted person or something. But even then, you still have to catch the vehicle and try to gather more information to determine if it's accurate before making a stop or doing something like that. what we have seen with the flock cameras across the country is law enforcement is taking it as it's an absolute, and they're not doing further checks or whatever. They're stopping cars, holding people at gunpoint with families and kids in the car. They're, you know, they're holding people on the side of the road for an hour or two while they try to resolve whatever the miscommunication is through the system. So I think some of that stuff's got to, you know, we've got to work on that. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, technology is changing every day. I mean, I'm sure we're being monitored through our phones and smart TVs and smart refrigerators and everything else. So I'm not sure where we go in the future with all of this, but I definitely think we've got to slow roll it and make sure that we're not just giving up all of our freedoms and liberties for the sense of safety and security.
Joined by State Representative Shade Stringer here on the program. Well, and you know, how the one thing that was kind of an issue there toward the end of last session, it was these cameras in these construction areas, right? That would, I guess, would just catch speeders. And the idea there was it would just mail a ticket and a penalty, just as if you were getting a speeding ticket. I mean, this seems to be a trend in law enforcement with this, as we kind of, you know, advance ahead in our technological age, just more and more of this is becoming something, and I'm not quite sure the public's keeping up with it.
Yeah, they better. You know, it's a very important issue when you start looking at giving up the Fourth Amendment or stuff like that through these camera systems. And, you know, I was totally opposed to that bill, too. I just do not believe that we should be putting cameras up everywhere, mailing everybody tickets. There's multiple issues and problems with it. One, you've got private companies are gaining revenue from this. They're getting part of the ticket money that comes to them. And there's just a lot of issues that with these systems, these traffic cameras. And, you know, if we're not careful, it's a slippery slope. We could have them everywhere we go. And I think that I kind of like my freedoms and liberties, and I don't, you know, I don't want us to take that for granted, and I want us to stand up for what's right and stand up for our Constitution.
Well, you know, and you look at the way things are going in some of our cities in Alabama. I mean, that to me, maybe it's a case by case basis. Would these cameras really? Well, I guess that's just a question in general. Would you start putting these cameras up in Birmingham and Montgomery? Does that make those cities safer? Would that help? Is that a place where, like, this technology maybe would be appropriate?
Well, I think there's a place for this type of technology, but I think there needs to be some checks and balances in place. You know, there has to be warrants to get a wiretap on, you know, just say a cartel organization to track them and catch them. There should be a warrant process for maybe installing these cameras in certain areas or whatever. Right now, we're just installing them across the country, everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. We're tracking and maintaining the movement of normal, everyday, law-abiding citizens. And I guess if that's never used, then whatever. But at any point, somebody decides to misuse this and gather that information for whatever purpose, then we've got problems. And so I think we really need to stay on top of this, and we're going to have to, we really need to do a deep dive. I even seen where there was a bill or either a correction in Los Angeles where they're, you know, rescinding their contract of flock cameras for now. So that tells you a lot, you know, if they're doing it. So we're going to have to look at it and try to make some determination.
Well, and it's just
how to use them.
Yeah, because you know, a lot of this is like the new data center. This is a new touchy subject, and you know, I don't know where the entirety of the public is, but I know there's a very vocal group of people are very, very adamant about these things not being a part of their, you know, their community.
Yeah, there has to be checks and balances in everything we do in life. And I think that, you know, we have got to get a hold of this and get our mind wrapped around it. You know, it's definitely become one of the hot topic issues in the whole country. There's not a news station that you turn on that don't have a story on it. So I think you're going to see potentially even something come out of the either federal legislation or some rules and regulations pertaining to it. But something needs to be done at a minimum, checks and balances to make sure it's not being used and abused. But even at that, when you've got private investors that own these companies and are gathering law enforcement information and, you know, could potentially be selling it or whatever they're doing with it, they're doing something with it. So I think we need to know all of that. But there again, that goes right back to how problematic these type of devices are.
Yeah, that's the perverse incentive here. So, for example, if municipality XYZ puts these things in, and maybe they, I guess, could theoretically, they worked out a deal with the manufacturer, then the manufacturer, if they're sending out speeding tickets or whatever kind of moving vehicle violation, right, could perceivably get a cut of that, and it creates this perverse financial incentive for policing or over policing or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, we've looked at everything. I use this example. We have around 30 deaths a year on I-65. We could reduce that by 50% or more by reducing the speed limit from 65 down to about 30. But who wants to run 30 from Mobile to Huntsville or from Huntsville to Mobile? How much are we willing to give up for that extra little bit of security of wrecks on 65? And that's the philosophy I try to use when I talk to people about these issues.
But you think, because, I mean, one of your colleagues, Ernie Yarborough, is just, he's ready to ban them all together. But I kind of wonder if he may be the outlier here, but there are probably some of your colleagues who think this is, you know, just a efficient, cost-effective way to take some of the you know, duties off the backs of some law enforcement around their districts.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't think that we can do away with law enforcement, and that's where I stand with it. You know, if I'm out here speeding and law enforcement stops me, write me a ticket, let me, you know, move on or whatever, but I shouldn't be getting a ticket in the mail every time I'm doing 4 miles an hour over, you know, on Celeste Road in my district or somewhere else. I think there's better ways to handle this. You know, we're not communists yet, and I hope we can keep it from happening. So I'm dead set on supporting my constituents and being there for them.
Joined by Shane Stringer here on the program. Well, last question, we'll get you out of here on this. The toll authority is okay. The governor's plan, it looks like there's going to be the toll regime that has been floated out there, and $8 if you're, you know, a baseline toll. There's other more, I guess, cheaper means of paying in and getting across it. But the Mobile Bay Bridge, it looks like it's proceeding forward. How you feel about it?
Yeah, I've been keeping up with it. Looks like it's, you know, fast tracking and headed in the right direction. Do we need it? Absolutely. I think it's a necessity. We've got to have it, but I'm totally against the tolling. I think that there's other ways to do this. We've accomplished it in other areas of the state and the country. And but, you know, if it's going to be that, the encouraging thing is the fact that the, you know, the Bankhead Tunnel had a toll at one time. That was removed. We had the toll bridge going into Orange Beach. That was eventually removed. So it is hope that, you know, that that can be removed at some point. So hopefully, if it's going to be that, then it hopefully we can be encouraged that it will be removed at some point in history.
Yeah, because that's, you know, the discussion that this is meant to finance the bridge. Well, at what point does this get paid off? Does the fine, and you know, that there's got to be something there that would take the toll away. Now, you mentioned it, to their credit, the state took the toll. They bought the Orange Beach Bridge and took it off. I guess a long time ago, they took the toll off of the Bankhead Tunnel. So, you know, we don't really know, though, like, when that day will come. You know, we may not be on this earth, Representative, but this seems to me like it'd be appropriate to have some kind of, you know, formality or something saying this is when the toll goes away.
Yeah, I would like that. You know, we looked at that when we did the potential for the private partnerships in our prison systems. And that was one of the concerns that the legislators had, is we never could get like a buyout at the end of the contract. And basically, once we figured everything up, we were going to be paying the same amount as if we built them ourselves. But at the end, we would have to purchase the prisons from a private company, and that was very concerning, not to know what that would look like at the end of this partnership. So yeah, that's going to be a big concern. I don't know what we're going to do. Hopefully, you know, we have good people in office that will do away with it quick as they can, and we can move on to some bigger and better project.
Representative, we always appreciate your time. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks. Thanks for hopping on this morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.